Thank you, Lord. Well, we started talking about healing, titled it Healing, God at Work, last week, or 2 weeks ago. Missed last week, had to cancel. Thank God. Let's turn quickly over to John 14, recap just a little bit, go forward. Got something specific on my heart tonight. Just believe God that it'll come out. What we need will come out the way we need it. Got a lot of scripture here that we could go to. We want the right ones. John 14, verse 9. So we said last week, or last time we met, that it's God's will for us to be healed. Healing is God's work. And Jesus was at work when he was on the earth, and we saw him healing. And the Bible says in John 14, verse 9, it says, Jesus said to him, Philip, we can read verse 7, it says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. So he's saying, you've seen the Father if you've seen me, Jesus has said. Jesus is God in the flesh. You believe it? You believe he came? We believe he walked on the earth, and that was God Almighty in the flesh. He identified with us. He has scars, not even just scars, holes in his hands, because he's identified with us. And Jesus is saying here, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And he said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. But he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what did we see Jesus? Whatever we saw Jesus do, that's the way God is. Whatever we go through the Gospels and see Jesus doing, that's, we've seen the Father. We've seen what the Father would do. We've seen the heart of God. If you can't see Jesus doing it, or you don't see Jesus doing it, and we can't find other scripture for some things, then we have no grounds to believe it. So there are people that have concocted theories and reasonings, theologies, and they say God is this way. God does this and that. This is the way God behaves. But they don't, you don't see Jesus doing the things that they're talking about. You don't see it backed up with Jesus. For instance, you know, we went over this briefly, but people will say, well, it's not God's will to heal everybody. Or God doesn't heal. It's not God's will to heal everybody. We're going to talk about that some. Well, which one did Jesus say to when they came to him to be healed? Which one did he say, I'm sorry, it's not the Father's will. You just need to suffer some more because God's working some things out in you. Now, when you've worked those things out, then maybe you're ready to be healed, but we just don't know about these things. We don't know how God works. And so, I don't know. Just go away. It just must not be the will of the Father. When did he ever say that? So why do so many people believe that? Where do they get that? It's not from the Bible. Okay? It's a belief system. I'm not saying they're not sincere. And I'm not saying they don't believe that. They're convinced of it, but you can be completely sincere and just be wrong, sincerely wrong. There's people that don't know and are believing something that's a lie. What you have to know, this whole thing, well, you know, there's people that have never heard the gospel, and what about them? That's a false argument. God is a just God. And I've heard I've heard multiple accounts of people going, they were seeking God, because the Bible says you can know there's a God just by looking at what's around. And people that seek Him and say, there is a God, I want to know you, God will reveal Himself to them. I heard Andrew Womack tell this story. He was ministering in a company. This guy actually brought him in and paid him, or, you know, he paid his employees to listen to Andrew Womack. He said, I'm paying you, you're on the clock, I want you to listen to this man. And he taught him. And there was a receptionist or something, and he went and happened to talk to her. And she said, you know, what do you do? And he said, well, I'm a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, you are? She goes, you're the one. And she had been calling out to God and saying, God, I know you're real. Reveal yourself to me. And she said it was like this glowing ball or something came before her and said, I'm sending a man to you tomorrow. He will tell you the way to me. And she got born again. I've heard of other accounts of people in the remotest parts of the world. And they called out to God, and missionaries came to them and preached the gospel to them. It's just ignorance that people will manufacture arguments to defend their unbelief, and don't ever get into arguing with people. God did not call us to debate. In fact, we're going to go over and read this scripture in a moment, but let's just go over there now. Let's go to Mark 16. Don't get into debates with people. So many times people that are in unbelief, they want to debate you. They drop things that are their arguments, but really, well, they don't really want to know. I'm not saying all of them don't want to know, but there's a lot of people that really, all they want to do, they're content where they are, they see you, they hear that you believe something, and so they'll say, what about this? And they're not really caring what you're going to say, because they're going to wait to hear what you say, which, and then they're going to give their counter-argument. Yeah. That's all they're waiting for. Yeah. And all they want to have is a debate. They just want to out-debate you. Yeah. That's of the mind. Now, I'm not talking about, if somebody comes to you and says, I believe this, and I want to know, and they're open to hearing what you have to say, that's different. You can show them the Word. But you don't need to show them and tell them your own opinions, because that doesn't mean really anything, unless your beliefs or what you're going to share is based on the Word. Because the Word's going to change them. Not Jim's opinion, not your opinion. Well, I believe, I think this. Well, unless that's based on what God said, who cares, really? Because God's Word's eternal. Now, if you believe something that's based on His Word, and you can say, well, God's Word says this, not so-and-so teacher said this. You know, we don't base what we believe on what somebody else said. You can use what somebody else said to say, you know, we quote people of what they've said, and people that, great men of God that have gone before, and say, yeah, like somebody said, but it's based on the Word, and it's illustrating. That's a totally different than saying, this person said this, so I believe this, and not based on any scripture. There's a huge difference. But when you're talking to people, don't try to debate them. Don't try to convince them. Let the word do the convincing, because so many people, they want to try to, they're sending out their argument so that, and even if you answered that, they'd have another one. Say, well, okay, what about this? They don't really want to change. They want to defend their position to stay where they're at. Well, if they don't, number one, they've already shut themselves off to God. What makes you think they're going to listen to you? Somebody said, well, I'm going to change them. Well, they're already shutting themselves down to the Almighty. So why do we think, well, I'll convince them? No, the God's Word's going to convince them. That's the only thing. They're going to have to open their hearts up to Him. But notice this in Mark 16. It says, verse 15, Mark 16, 15, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You notice it didn't say go into all the world and debate? It didn't say go into all the world and share your opinion. Go into all the world and share your theology. Go into all the world and share your 10 steps. It said go into all the world and preach the gospel. Notice that it didn't say go into all the world and prove that there's a God. Notice it said, don't go into all the world and prove that the Bible is true. It didn't say that. A lot of people are trying to go and they're saying, well, I got to prove my position. The Bible didn't say to do that. It didn't tell you to prove that the Bible's true. I mean, I'm not saying you don't look. You want to convince yourself, go look. How many manuscripts? There are so many more manuscripts for this book right here. It's ridiculous. Like, the second book, or the 10 top secular writings, you know, this has so many more original copies than, like, the 10 next things. I mean, things that are great classics. They have a fraction of the number of manuscripts they have for this book. It's not even comparable, really. Yet, I mean, it's been so consistent throughout the ages. Go look at that. But that's not going to bring you to Jesus. You can tell somebody, that, well, go look at it. If you really doubt it, go, you know, read something about it. That's just a book of stories. Okay, go look. But it's not our job to convince somebody. Some people have made it there. I'm not saying people aren't sincere, but let's prove everything because people have to have a reason. No, that's in your head. You're not going to come to a knowledge of an invisible God by reasoning. You're never going to get there. At some point, you're going to have to take the leap and say, I believe, regardless of the fact that I can't see Him, I've never met Him, but I believe that Jesus of Nazareth lived and died just like the Bible said and rose again, and if I believe on Him, I'm saved. I have to believe. I have to come to believe that, and no amount of reasoning is ever going to get you there. And it's like that with everything, with God. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we've read it before. It says in the Word that these things are spiritually discerned. They're not apparent to the natural man. You're never going to come to spiritual truths through natural reasoning. So, it is God's will to heal, and people have replaced that with their reasonings of how something didn't happen. The way a lot of this stuff gets started is somebody didn't get healed or something didn't happen, so that must mean God didn't want them healed. Why does what is, some? There is not really a connection, but people make this connection. Well, whatever He wants, that, you know, if we pray and we get a certain result, that must mean that was His will. But if we pray and it doesn't happen, well, that must mean He didn't want us to have it. Really? So, if we're going to preach salvation to somebody, They say, well, you come up here, and I'll lay my hands on you, and I'm going to pray, and if it's God's will, you'll get saved. But if not, you're going to hell. But these same people, they'll say, oh, no. We believe. But these same people tell you, but if we pray and you don't get healed, that means God didn't want to heal you. How is that different? It's not different. Could it be there's other things involved? Why do we come to the conclusion that it's not God's will? Maybe it's God's will and something else is not right. Why don't we look into it and say, maybe there's something else we got to tweak or change, or maybe we don't actually understand what we ought to, instead of saying, well, God just didn't want it to happen. There's a big difference. But people do this. So, Jesus said, if you've seen me. So we ought to look at Jesus. What did he do? And we read this last week. Let's turn over to Acts 10:38. We're going to get back to Mark 16, but you're probably already past it anyway, so I think you can probably find it again. Acts 10:38. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So how did God do the good that he did through Jesus? It was by the anointing. God anointed Jesus to do good. And what was the good that he went around doing? He was healing. Jesus was healing by the anointing that God provided and anointed him with. So God was healing people through Jesus, right? That was God working. Jesus, you want to see God at work, look at Jesus. Jesus is the will of God in action. Look at what Jesus did. Don't skip over the Gospels. Look at the Gospels. What did Jesus do? Sometimes Jesus seems hard. But ask yourself, has anybody ever read something that Jesus said and said, ooh, that seemed hard? Now, if you heard some preachers today, they would not say that what Jesus said was right. If it was going to come out the way they are portraying God to be, it would have been much softer and like, well, you're just doing great. You just keep going on. You're going to get there. Jesus did not do that in certain areas. Was Jesus right? Or was he wrong? I believe he always did exactly the right thing every single time. Was he right when he looked at the Pharisees and lawyers and said, you bunch of hypocrites? Yeah. Was he walking in love? Yeah. To hear some people, you think, oh, he's being harsh. He's got to walk in love. I mean, he's not being Christian. Jesus? The Christ? We have a problem if we don't believe what the Christ said and we're Christians. Right? No, I mean, you look at what he said and did in situations, you are watching the will of God in action. He is steel and velvet. Same. He was soft to people, but if they needed it, he did exactly what was needed all the time. All the time. And so when he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, he was doing exactly what God's will was. Do you believe he always did the will of God? Did he ever miss it? No. Did he ever tell somebody, "I'm sorry, it's not your time"? Did he ever put sickness on anyone? Surely one time. Because there is a lot of people that believe he put sickness on people. Is there ever one time somebody came to him and said, "You've been a bad boy"? Boom. Take that. No, he didn't. He did not. Surely we would see just one example of that somewhere, if that was what God was in the business of doing. But we don't see it. We don't see that happening. And like we said last time, and we've talked about in past times, that that Satan is the god of this world. And so many of the things that people are attributing to God and why they get messed up is because the world has fallen and there's a devil. And people get confused and they look at certain scriptures and they don't rightly divide them. And maybe we'll go into some of that stuff as we go on, not tonight, but in the future. But, you know, they bring things in and they say, well, what about this or what about that? And they're not rightly dividing the Word of God and they get it messed up. And they say, well, see, that proves. And then what do we do with all the times Jesus was healing all? What about that? The will of God in action. And somebody wants to bring up some passage about somebody and say, see, what about this? What about Job? What about Job? If you read the end of Job, Job got twice as much as he had at the beginning. He got healed in the end, right? No, he got healed. Yeah, some stuff happened. And we might go into that. Some. But what about Jesus? What did Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil? To hear some people talk, you would think that in the last 2,000 years, the devil and God switched places. That God's putting, now, see, it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. To hear some people talk, you must think that God and the devil switch places, because now today, God's the one that's putting sickness on everybody. And if you get healed, the devil did it. There's people that believe that. That it's the devil healing to mess people up and to deceive them. Now, where did that happen? Where they started going opposite like that? When did that happen? When do they make this, you know? No, that's just blasphemy. God's good. And we read on Sunday, there is no darkness in him. Have you ever been sick? You feel like jumping up and down and running around and it's just full of light? No. No, it's not like that. It's death. It's a little taste of death. And in its most advanced form, it is death, right? It's death of something in your body. Your body's not working right. It's not going. That's not God. How? That is blasphemy. That is impugning the character of God to say God did this, and people think they are being holy. Yeah. Now, there are some things in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I don't, you know, we may get into some of those things. But God is righteous and just at all times, and it is never his will to put sickness on anybody. It's never his will for anybody to be sick. Do people get sick for different reasons? Yes, they do. But that doesn't mean it's God's will. Do people go to hell? Yes, they do. Is it God's will they go to hell? Never. But they go to hell for all different reasons. They reject Jesus for different reasons. But that's not God's fault. It's the same thing with healing. Let's turn over to, I told you we're going to go back, Mark 16.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mark 16, verse 15. It said, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." You stop right there. He who believes will be saved. And baptized is not referring to water baptism there. Okay, that means to dunk, to be baptized into. There's baptisms the Bible speaks of. People have tried to make that, see, you got to be baptized or you're not saved. Well, what does it say? He who does not believe will be condemned. It doesn't say anything about, and if you don't get dunked in the pool, you're going to hell. No. And people have fought small wars over how to be baptized. You sprinkle, you dunk. I mean, no. We gotta interpret the word by the word. He who believes and is baptized. Well, if you don't believe, that's the criteria for being saved. It's also the criteria for being healed. But he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. And notice what it says. In my name, they will cast out demons. Notice all these things. You can read this like this. It's like, in my name, this, and this, and this, and this. So look what it's saying. In my name, they will cast out demons. You could say, in my name, they will speak with new tongues. Semicolon. In my name, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, if it says believers are going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, if there was a difference between these different people, which one of the sick did Jesus say to lay hands on? If only some of them are going to get healed, which ones did he say to lay hands on? If he was the author of sickness and he put sickness on people, and you think, like some people believe, he should have told us to lay hands on only the people that it was God's will to heal. But he didn't say that. And that would be confusing, right? Because he told us to just go lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But if they're not the ones that God wills, then they're not going to recover. Well, he better tell us which ones, because if I go lay my hands on you and then you don't, it must not be his will, see? But he said they will recover. So why wasn't he more clear? I think he was clear. I think you have to have help to misunderstand it. No, it would be confusing. I think God was perfectly clear. He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now notice he said, believers. That does have something to do with it. Otherwise, let's just go down to the hospital right now and let's just empty it out. Let's empty it out. When I was in the Philippines, 2005, I went on a missions trip to the Philippines. And I tell you what, if you haven't been on a missions trip, you haven't laid hands on the sick, go. At some point in the future, in the church, you know, we'll facilitate that in some way, shape, or form. Because I believe people should get out there and be on the mission trip. It will change your life. But we go two by two and go through. We were in Calapan. We were on an island and going about, and they were starting a church, and they had been meeting for quite a while, getting this church started, and they were going to have a healing meeting, or we were having healing meetings. And so in the days, we would go about, and we would hand out flyers, and we would pray with people. We'd lay hands on them. We'd come and lay hands on people, and we saw people get healed. And just one after another. And you just get to where you're bold, but not necessarily always, you know, learning. I'm still learning. Are you learning? I'm learning. I'm still learning. I know some things, but I'm going to still keep going and learning. And we came up to this girl, And actually, there were these Jehovah's Witnesses around too, these guys coming. A couple of them came to our meeting, and that is a big no-no. They probably did get in big trouble. Because they're out, you know, evangelizing the world too. And they spent 2 years of their life doing this, and they were in the same area that we were. And they happened to, I think we were there with the person, and they came up or something. They were around. But anyway, there was this girl, and I can't remember. She had one blind eye. I don't think they were both blind, but I think there was one blind eye. And first thing, we just came up. Jacob, my partner's name, my roommate's name was Jacob, came up and just didn't tell her anything, didn't even know if she was saved or not, just was like, we're going to pray for her in the name of Jesus. Nothing happened. And these guys were around, you know, and stuff too. Like, wow, nothing happened. And so we went in. But I think finally they left, so that wasn't helping anything. Anyway, and then they had their family, or she had her family, and we went into her family. And so then we started preaching to them and telling them the word and telling them what Jesus said. And there was one girl that was sitting there, one of the other people, she was just sitting there, and she had a headache when we came in, and she said her head just started feeling like it was floating. And she just started feeling good, and it went away while we were just talking. And then this one, so we talked to him for a while and talked to this girl, and I can't remember if we prayed. I think we prayed for a lot of them to become saved. But I can't remember exactly what it was with this girl, if she was already saved or not. And then we came back to her after we had talked with her for a while and then prayed for her, and she started to see light. She couldn't see light out of the eye. And she could start to see light out of it. She completed it, but it started. And we had to go to the next thing, and we just said, we just believe it's going to continue. But my point is, there had to be believing in there too. You don't just go to everybody. People, well, it just works. No, there's faith involved. The person doing the praying, the person receiving, combination, the anointing that's involved, there are things that govern. And it doesn't just, so otherwise you could just go to anybody that doesn't believe, just go down to the hospitals and just clear them out. Why not? Because you can't. They have to believe. That's be like, why don't we just get everybody saved? You, be saved. You, be saved. And they don't believe. They don't believe Jesus. They don't believe there's a God. They might be just got done talking against God. Well, it doesn't work. Well, if we wouldn't do that with salvation, why do we do it with healing? Well, so you got to be watching when you go. Don't try to prove healing either. Don't try to prove healing and go and, well, I'm going to prove that, you know, Jesus is the healer. That's not your job either. It says go preach the gospel. We're supposed to tell, and then they can believe. But it's not your job to go prove healing. We get into trouble when we try to do that. Well, I'm going to prove to you. Well, if they're in unbelief and doubt, Jesus himself, it says in one place in the Word, could not do any mighty work because they were in total unbelief in his hometown. They did not believe anything. Well, you got people that don't believe, and it's like, well, let's see what you got. Pray. And you pray for them, we'll see. Didn't think anything would happen. And we're surprised that they didn't get healed? Now, when you come, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You got to, the first criteria, you have to believe there's a God. You have to believe he is. If you're saying there's no God, prove it. Now, God will do some things. Okay? There are some things, yes, some people will get healed. There is no faith involved whatsoever. Those are the gifts of the Spirit, and they are as the Spirit wills. Some people that don't, I mean, flat out against God, something will happen. Now, why do certain things happen in that area? That's not under our control. Those are God-initiated things. But if you look throughout the scriptures, the people that got healed, and when it's talking about individual cases, a majority of them, it was by faith. And if people wait till God moves, some people are saying, well, they go from preacher to preacher, meeting to meeting. Well, let's see if you got the anointing. I'm going to go and I'm going to get in line and hopefully I'll be healed. See, they're not in faith. They're hoping there's going to be a move of the Spirit and they're going to get healed. You can go your whole life and never get healed like that. But there is a way that you can be healed no matter what, and that's by faith. Whether there's a special healing anointing or not, you can receive. I can receive. And that's the best way because you can get it again. It's repeatable. A lot of times you see these really outstanding things happen that are God-initiated. It's where the gospel hasn't been preached or things are happening and they're proven that God is real. And it's stuff is happening and it is the Spirit moving. And there's also things that then people are in such faith and they're pulling that happens. But there's a combination of the two. But don't look, yes, God does do certain things, but there's a lot of place in the Bible where people obviously came to Jesus in faith. And you can always be healed by faith. So it says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Turn over to James 5. Glory to God. James 5. Verse 14. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now notice what it says in verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Why didn't God tell us who to pray for? If it's God's will only to heal some, he just said, is anyone? Isn't that confusing if there's certain people that he's not going to heal? He said, no, if there's anyone in the church, he's speaking to the church. As he says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith, what? It will save the sick. Save there is to make whole. Save is an all-inclusive word. It's not just, but it means heal. It will heal the sick, save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. It's God's will to heal everyone. He's saying if the prayer of faith, notice he said the prayer of faith again. He said the prayer of faith will save the sick. But he didn't say, now, call only the ones that I've determined I'm going to heal. And let me just say this. People don't really believe, even people that say that it's God's will for them to be sick, don't really believe that. That's something you believe in church on Sunday morning. Because if they're really feeling bad, they're going to the doctor on Monday. They don't really believe. You were to tell somebody else, oh yeah, God made me sick. And they're trying to get well. Why are they trying to get well? If it is God's will for them to be sick, you better get everything that you can get out of it. I'm not making fun. I'm totally honest with you, right? If it is God's will for me to be sick, if that were God's will, and that's what he wanted for us, then I would be all for it. I'm dead serious. Because if God really did that, that was what God really had, then I trust God, I believe God, I want what he wants for me. Let's get all we can. Sicker the better. Let's learn this lesson. If you're sincere, that's the way you ought to think, right? Otherwise, it's like, I mean, how can you differentiate? Well, I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do unless he tells me to do that. Well, if God is going to tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. And if it really is God that wants me sick, then I'm going to be sick. Otherwise, you're being a hypocrite. Don't try to get well. Well, I mean, why are doctors, people know that this is a bad thing, that sickness is not good. When you have a child that's sick or you have a spouse that's sick, you're not saying, "Woo, that's great." You're looking at them, they're suffering. You ever watch somebody, they're sick, they're getting sick, they're, you know, losing their dinner or something. It's not fun to watch. It's not a godly thing. God is not doing that. People don't really believe that. They do everything they can to stop those symptoms from happening, right? So, but that is blasphemy to say God did that. My Father, the God, who there's no light, no darkness in, He is pure light. He's doing that to you. That's equating Him with evil. That's wrong. But it's a deception. But what does it say? The Bible says that Jesus went about healing, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, I don't care how many times you heard this. I don't care if you could, you know, finish half of my sentences during this sermon. We are going to get it ground into us because we can come up. And as we're talking about it, faith is rising. As I'm preaching it, I'm getting stronger in it. That we are convinced. We need to be so convinced that if anything rises up and attacks our body, our thought is not somehow God let me down. It's that this is of the devil. This has got to go. And through whatever means, it's going. And have no doubt, zero doubt. God is for me. It's not Him. It's not because somehow, you know, He's trying to teach me something. It's not Him. His will is that I be whole right now. That's His will. Now, God, if I missed it somewhere, if I need to tweak something in my believing, You show me that. But I know You're in the business of helping me get there. You are not holding me back at all. And Your will. We need to be just as convinced of this as we would, as we would with salvation. Nobody in here. If somebody were to start arguing with you and say, "No, I believe God. He doesn't want some people to go to heaven. They're damned. They're going to hell. They're just picked out. They're the people that from the get-go they're going to hell, and there's nothing they can do about it." You would fight it. You say, "No. The Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth, believe in your heart." And you would say, "No, but they're at, no, I just believe. I'm just one of the ones, excuse me, going to hell." You say, "No, you can believe." Now, you'd clearly look at the person and say, "No, you don't understand. This is God's will. God wants you. His will is for you to be in heaven. His will is for you to be born again." Well, it's the same thing with our bodies. It doesn't matter what happens. Just we need to get it so ground in us that it is God's will right here. He wants me completely upright, healthy, out of the bed, strong, every way. That is His will. Now, God, show me. If I'm missing it somewhere, if something it needs to be light, help me. Show me what I need to know. Make it clear, because I know Your will is perfectly that I be just healthy and whole and strong, no doubt that I am just, that is just, I'm unquestioning in that. Thank God. And we've gotten stronger tonight, and I believe if we go the same direction and build on this next week, we're just going to get stronger there. And we're going to get some other questions answered. And we're going to maybe go, you know, the Lord willing, if we don't go in a different direction, we're going to overturn some things and just shed some light on some stuff. And talk about some things that people say, "Well, what about this?" Well, what about it? Let's hit it. What about it? What does the Word say? Get those doubts erased. Get that out of the way so we can just be strong and believe. Because if you have a nagging doubt, then that's going to hinder you from believing the way we ought to believe. We get those doubts out of the way, now we can believe strong and we receive what God has for us. Amen? Thank You, Lord.